Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Welcome to All Paws Pet Talk, and this is Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws. And my name is Karen Watts, also known as Karen at PetOfTheDay.com. And we have our first guest with us today, who is Jim Adkins, who is for the Center for Poultry.com.
Wow. And hello, Jim.
Hello. How are you all? I can't hear you too well, but there, that's better.
There you go. Okay.
We can hear you just fine.
Yeah.
Oh, so, that's good. I'm going to turn up my headset just a little bit. How's that? Is that okay?
That's better.
Yeah, perfect.
We are on the air.
Excellent. Great.
Now, I know the Center for Poultry.com says you are in charge of, you have a program for sustainable poultry. Do you want to explain to our listeners what that is?
Sure. Actually, more appropriate website. It's sustainablepoultrynetwork.com. And basically, what we're doing, we are working very, very hard to bring back all the old heritage breeds of poultry that are recognized by the American Poultry Association and getting those birds back into the marketplace for meat and eggs. And so you go back and you look like all the pre-1950 birds, like Rhode Island Reds and New Hampshires and Plymouth Rocks and Orpingtons and the Dorkings and the Buckeye Chickens and the Chanticleers, which is the only Canadian creation. And so we're working very hard to get those old heritage breeds back into the marketplace and on the kitchen tables of American families.
Wow. That's interesting. Uh-huh. So is this like an offshoot for the Poultry Antiquities Club, or is this all related?
Oh, we're very related. SPPA would be, we would have a like-minded vision and passion, and part of it is the fact that we believe that if we're going to preserve these old breeds and get them, because, you know, so many of these heritage breeds are almost gone, and
right,
the reason they're gone and just the reason they're disappearing is because they are no longer an important part of our small farms when it comes to meat production and egg production. And so there's not a need for these birds anymore because the commercial industry and the, I call it the man-made chicken and the fast-growing turkeys, they've all consumed the industry. So we don't really need these old heritage breeds anymore.
Yep, that's true. I was just reading all about the commercial chickens here today, as a matter of fact, and I can see, you know, where they're putting 125,000 broilers in one barn here, you know. So I understand exactly what's going on. What are some of the old meat breeds that we should be looking at? I know these are all crossed.
Yeah, one of the things that people don't realize is all the American breeds of chickens, they're a dual purpose chicken. So, I mean, they were, when I say dual purpose, they're intended for meat and for eggs. So if you look at a Plymouth Rock chicken, when it was in its peak of heyday, I mean, that was the chicken that was in the commercial industry. And so, and it was used both for eggs and for meat. So you would grow up, you know, you might grow up a few hundred of the Plymouth Rocks, and the extra males would go into the meat production, and all the girls would be used for eggs. And so, like, you've got the New Hampshire chicken and the Delaware chicken. Those were the top two meat chickens until about 1950 when the industry chicken was brought on the scene. And so And it's pretty exciting because we have some very, very large flocks of these old heritage breeds, because you can't just raise, well, let's have 10 Delaware chickens, you know. You,
right.
You need big flocks so that you can really provide plenty of bird for restaurants if they request a specific breed. So the Buckeye's a great meat chicken or a dual-purpose chicken. Like I said, the Chanticleer and the Delaware and a lot of the English breeds, like the Dorkings and the Orpingtons and the Osterlorps, and we're working with all those breeds within the Sustainable Poultry Network.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. Cause I mean, you know, like the Cornish Rocks are the ones that, you know, when I think of a meat chicken, you think of the Cornish Rocks or, you know, those type of chickens. And like you say, you know, they're raising these things up so fast now in a matter of weeks. And,
I live right in poultry country in North Carolina. And that chicken now, I've been corrected recently by the poultry geneticist at North Carolina State University. It used to be about, on the average, about 42 days. Now, that the industry chicken in our country and around the world is being processed at 37 days of age.
Wow.
That is a fast-growing chicken.
Gee.
Very fast-growing chicken. And if you compared it to... If you put that onto human growth, you would weigh about 230 some pounds when you were 2 years old. I mean, it's very, very fast growing.
Wow, 37 days. They got that down. Wow. Now, this is all, you know, this is not natural, obviously, right? I don't know. What are they doing to these chickens to make them grow so fast?
Well, basically, there's a lot of myths. And a lot of misunderstandings with those birds, because people think, oh, they're shot up with hormones. They do things to make the chickens grow fast. And actually, what it is, more than anything, the primary reason a chicken or a turkey, they do it with turkeys as well, the reason they're fast growing is all because of breeding selection. They're always selecting birds that grow faster. So if you take a tom turkey and you put it with a hen turkey and you get the progeny off of those turkeys, and then whatever turkey grows the fastest, that's the one you put in the breeding pen. And then the next generation, whatever turkey grows. So they're constantly selecting the fastest growing turkeys. Uh-huh. And ultimately that's what they're doing is they're only selecting breeders that grow quickly. And it's a very imbalanced way of selecting breeders, because there's other qualities that you need to look at when you're selecting a breeder. But when you select for growth, rate of growth only, that's what you end up with, a fast-growing chicken.
Wow, and the same thing with turkeys. And that's amazing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I worked in the turkey industry in California, and I won't tell you which company it was, but a true heritage turkey needs about at least 24 weeks. Ideally, it needs about 28 weeks to really develop. But the industry is processing turkeys at 14 to 16 weeks, so they're growing way faster than what's normal.
Wow.
Now, as someone who is not someone who raises chickens to process myself, but as a consumer, what difference does this make to the turkey or the chicken that I'm consuming, or to the eggs that I get?
Well, I always say to the consumer, here's a couple things. First of all, these chickens and turkeys that you're talking about.
Well, Joe, in your perspective, what difference does it make?
Well, I guess I'm not sure. I like the old-fashioned natural growing chickens. That's what I like. And the eggs and the hens. You know, I just like the natural stuff. This new stuff, it's new to me and it scares me, you know, to see them grow that fast.
Yeah, and if they're only selecting for size, that is worrisome because they're not necessarily selecting for hardiness.
Yeah.
And for, you know, its ability to survive disease and things like that.
That's what I worry about.
Their immune systems are greatly affected. I'll tell you a big thing people don't realize is 100% of all the turkeys in the industry, you name every major turkey company in our country, and 100% of those turkeys cannot naturally reproduce.
That's too big.
So it's all artificial insemination. So the way it worked on, you know, when I worked in the industry, we had a breeder farm. You'd have 500 toms, and we would train a group of men. The women usually didn't get into this, but we would train them to go. You'd collect semen for 8 to 10 hours a day, and then you'd spend the next couple of days inseminating the hens. That's the only way that we could reproduce these birds because they were so fast growing that they could not naturally reproduce. So I call it a man-made turkey.
Yep, and the same thing with the meat chickens, right? The meat chickens that you buy won't reproduce because I've tried that myself.
They will not reproduce. No.
Now, what about like the Cornish rocks that you buy? Now, those are a meat chicken, fairly fast growing. Will those reproduce on their own? The straight Cornish rocks, white.
Well, that's a terminal bird. That bird was bred to die, and so actually, it's very unusual for them to live beyond their times of processing. You try and a Cornish cross, if you've ever raised them, they literally, their bodies grow faster than their legs, and their bodies grow faster than their organs. And so a lot of them die because of congestive heart failure. They have all kinds of growth issues. They have leg diseases because they grow so fast. And so it's a very obese chicken. If you actually let it live, the bird can't walk. So could sort of, you know, some people are like, I got an egg out of a Cornish cross chicken. Well, that's a very unusual situation because it is a terminal bird. It was bred to, it was multiplied to die. And and we also have very clear evidence that those birds are growing with chronic pain because they grow so fast.
Right.
So it's just a nasty, dirty, disgusting chicken that now we're raising millions and millions of them, and they're not sustainable. Farmers can't. You're constantly depending on an outside resource to send you baby chicks because you can't reproduce them on your farm.
Yeah. Now, what are they a cross of to get these meat chickens? What are they crossing to get these meat chickens? Obviously,
well,
there's two different breeds.
Actually, if you take, like, I'll give, you know, two breeds of chickens that are really common. Let's take a Plymouth Rock chicken and cross it with a New Hampshire chicken. So you take two standard bred chickens and you cross them. The offspring would be what we call, in the genetic world, we call that an F1 cross. You tracking with me?
Mm-hmm.
So an F1 cross is two breeds crossed together. Now, a Cornish cross is about an F37 cross, or like an F32. It's some ungodly number of crosses. And you know, it's no longer a purebred. It's a genetically engineered bird, and we never call it a breed. It's called a hybrid. And so you have a male line, a female line, and ultimately what they're doing is producing a bird that in the end it's terminal. And quite frankly, it's a very, very smart thing to do in the genetic world, in the poultry genetic world, because if I can't reproduce that bird, guess what? I have to continuously go back to the company that reproduces this bird. And those genetics are owned by three companies in the world, and only one of them is in North America. You might have heard of them. They're called Tyson.
Yes, I have. Very famous.
Now, that's like, even as a child, when we were ordering seeds from a catalog, we knew that if it was a hybrid seed that we were ordering, you couldn't save the seeds and then grow that same tomato next year. And so it's the same thing with these chickens, only they're so far down the line. You said some of them are F-37. So it's been a long time since anybody was able to get a viable egg out of any of these birds.
Oh. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yep.
God.
And so you're working toward sustainable chickens means working toward the old breeds. It's not just you want the old breeds because they're pretty or they're historic or for that value, but it's birds that if you have a chicken and it lays an egg and you let the egg hatch, that's, you're going to get another chicken like that one.
Right. Yeah.
That's exactly right. Very, very important. And everything that we breed and encourage our farmers is are birds that are recognized by the American Poultry Association. And the American Poultry Association for over 100 years has been publishing the standard of perfection, which is kind of like the chicken Bible. And, you know, I have one of the very first editions of the standard from like 1907. And so all of the heritage breeds, in a sense, we're sending a message to restaurants, to chefs, to farmers to say, we're actually putting these birds back to work for what they were originally developed to do. And, or another way we say it is we're blazing a new trail the old way. And, it's growing like crazy because so many people have a growing concern of where their meat's coming from and where their food is coming from. And there's this huge breakdown in our food system and people are burdened to go back to small farming and to be able to put an end to factory farming. And it's very, very exciting because there's such a great interest from coast to coast. And I'm in, you know, I live in North Carolina, but I was just speaking at an eco farm conference down in Monterey, and I'm up in Portland. I'm flying home tomorrow, and we certify flocks. So yesterday afternoon, I was in Hood River, Oregon, and going through a very old breed called the Mottled Java. And it comes from the island of Java. And they're a very, very old historical breed. So I show up with that farmer and we set up her breeding pens and we talk about how we can get other people involved in breeding the chickens and the old historical breeds. And so it's really exciting because there's so much interest across the country.
There is, and we get it right around here in Florida. I mean, I can't believe the people now that are interested in the old breeds, the rare breeds, and golden campines, and the white-faced Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, it's just, you know, it's starting to really catch on, you know.
And it really is, I'm teaching my first heritage poultry workshop in northern Florida. And I'll actually be in your state in a couple of weeks. I'll be judging the poultry at the Florida State Fair.
Oh, okay. That's up in Gainesville, isn't it? Around Gainesville?
It's in Tampa. It's in Tampa Bay.
Oh, it's in Tampa. Okay.
So any of our listeners who are in Florida, you would actually be able to meet one of the guests you've been hearing on Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. Now, are these heritage breeds, are there different breeds? I know you've been talking about the Plymouth Rock and the New Hampshire, and of course, I'm the lone outlier. I'm here in right outside of Boston, Massachusetts. And so when we're running out of time for this segment, but when we come back, I'd love to talk about how people should decide if they're going to get into these older breeds, these heritage chickens, which chickens they should choose for themselves. Because I know, Joe, you have some.
Yes. And where to get them is the important thing, you know. Where do I get these breeds? That's what I get most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can't just walk into the supermarket, buy the eggs there, and try to hatch them. That's right. Never going to work.
Uh-huh.
You know, folks, we are almost out of time here with this segment. You've been listening to All Paws Pet Talk Country Joe's Chicken Show, which you can hear online anytime at WPETTalkRadio.com or go on the website for AllPawsPetTalk.com, and there's a link right there. You can listen in. And we'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show.
I'm a green chicken.
I'm hungry. Can't wait.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Now you can walk and exercise your pet no matter what your condition using the bike tow leash. There is nothing like the bike tow leash. It easily attaches to bicycles, electric scooters, and other mobility equipment. It acts like an extra left arm to communicate and to control your pet in the healing position. You can install it in minutes. The bike tow leash is recommended by trainers and used by owners and working dog handlers of all kinds. So now you can get out and have fun and exercise your pet very safely. Go to our website, www.allpawspettalk.com, and go to the sponsor page and hit the bike tow leash banner or call toll-free 857-245-3364. That number once again, toll-free 857-245-3364.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We've got Country Joe here and Jim Adkins talking about sustainable poultry and which of the historic breeds we should be interested in and get around and where to get them wherever right. You are in the country.
Yeah, that's important, Jim. Yeah, where do we get some of these?
Well, unfortunately, you guys, you know, unfortunately, they're hard to find, and what I mean by that is to get birds that are really true to breed, true to the breed, true to the standard of perfection. And there's a couple of sources that I would recommend to you. I would definitely encourage the listeners to become members of the American Poultry Association, and they do have a website, and becoming a member of the American Poultry Association, they send out an annual yearbook, and a lot of different breeders of these heritage standard breeds of poultry, they advertise in that yearbook. So that's a great source. Another source is there's a publication called Poultry Press. Don't you like that name? The Poultry Press. Yay! And it's a monthly publication, and usually folks who advertise in there have very, very good standard bred poultry. But I will tell you, my number one suggestion is our network website, which is the sustainablepoultrynetwork.com. And all of our flocks that we recognize are listed. You click on recognize flocks, and these are flocks. Now, they're stronger in some pockets of the country than others. Like our network's very strong in California, very strong in the Carolinas. We have a number of flocks up in Montana, and it's growing up into Virginia and into New England. But the reason I recommend those flocks to you is that I always encourage people, never buy a chicken online in a sense of a bird that you've never seen. I personally never recommend a flock of birds unless I've seen the parent stock or the grandparent stock. Now keep this in mind, I'm also a poultry judge, and so I travel coast to coast judging poultry. And all of these chickens, where'd you get them? Well, I bought it online and somebody told me that was a Buff Orpington. I'm like, that's not even close to a Buff Orpington. or they get,
God,
you know, and they get all these, even from hatchery birds, the hatchery chickens are not bred true to standard. And so it's really a lot of folks buy birds. They go to their feed store and they get told something and it's not true to breed. So it takes a student of that standard of perfection. I always encourage people, get the chicken Bible. It's the standard of perfection, and learn about the different breeds of poultry and then figure out, you know, where you're going to go to get that, to really source that bird. But you can also email me off that website. And if you say, hey, I'm looking for a silver spangled hamburg, and I'll try, you know, and find out where people live and encourage them to try and get connected with a breeder in a very specific area of the country where they live. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, what is your website?
The website is thesustainablepoultrynetwork.com.
Okay.
Now, and you mentioned people should get a copy of the Chicken Bible. Where does one get a Chicken Bible? Is that on Amazon.com, or where does one find such a thing?
You can. You can get them on Amazon, but I think the best thing to do, well, there's two things. One of them is to go to the website for the American Poultry Association, and you can order it directly from the publisher there. But also, I'll tell you, Karen, what I strongly encourage people to do is if you can find one of the old, like pre-1950 standards, they're out there. They're you know, in old bookstores and things. And if you can find an old standard, it is a jewel. And I even say, hey, if you find 10 1938 standards, pick all 10 of them up. You keep one, and I'll buy the other 9 because they're so hard to find.
Wow. Jeez.
So those are a few resources. What's that?
Is that something you might be able to find if you live in an old part of the country like I do in Boston? Might that be in the public library if you tried looking for it there?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen them in many, many libraries. The standard of perfection is often, it's often found there. That's a great idea.
Uh-huh. And I was thinking of the special collections, the Natural Agricultural Library. I had their address down here. They're in Maryland.
Uh-huh.
And I bet that would give an urban librarian really something to help you with if you go to your reference librarian and say, hi, I'm looking for the Chicken Bible from 1947.
Wow. There you go. That's exactly right. That's what you can do. But you don't get carried away now. It's called the American Standard of Perfection. My little paraphrase is the Chicken Bible.
Oh, okay. Okay. The American Standard of Perfection in Poultry?
Yes. No, it's just called the American Standard of Perfection, and it'll pop up and lead you to places where you can purchase the brand new standard.
Now we have our next guest on the line with us. We have Jennifer Glover, and she is from the state of Florida. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Good evening. Welcome, everybody.
Hi.
So glad to have you
with
us. We're just talking about sustainable poultry. And I know you do a lot of inspections. Now, does that involve checking flocks for various things like sustainability?
No, I'm actually with the Division of Animal Industry, and our bureau is Animal Disease Control. So what I oversee for the state is doing the testing and for healthy poultry, and we do disease testing. The sustainable agriculture, most information will come from each county has an IFAS extension office, and that would be the best resource to get information on that.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
That's helpful to know, Jennifer. And, you know, we're running out of time for this segment, so we'll talk to you more in the next segment.
Okay.
And, Jim, one of the things I was going to ask you is, if I live in New England, should I go with New England named breeds, like the Plymouth Rock?
Well, That's completely up to you. You know, if you're if you're from Ohio, often people will say they want to get the Buckeye chicken. If they live in Delaware, they want the Delaware chicken and Rhode Island Red, you know, and so it's really up to you. But there's obviously, being from New England, you live in an area where there's lots of history for standard bred poultry, and I'm envious of you.
Well, now the task is to go and bother my reference librarian.
That's right. Well, and maybe be great for you take a look at the website, and if you wanted to show up at one of our workshops where I teach, I would love for you to be a part of that and kind of see a little bit of our world.
Hey, that sounds good. Get a hold of me when you come down to Florida. I'd love to meet you.
That would be awesome. That would be absolutely fantastic. We could even do a little radio show at the workshop if you want to.
Yeah, we could. Now, when is that coming down here?
I am doing it on Thursday, April the 4th. And I can't remember the city. It's in northern Florida, and you can look at it on the website, or shoot me a private an email off of that website, and I'll get in touch with you. That'd be great.
Okay, Jim, we are almost out of time. Let's give your website one more time.
It's the sustainablepoultrynetwork.com. So sustainablepoultrynetwork.com, and I just finished a little video, a YouTube on there on selecting breeders, and thank you for the incredible privilege of being on your program.
Hey, we'll have you back. We got plenty to ask you.
That's right. We always have more questions.
Oh, yeah.
And Jennifer, I'm so glad we have you on tonight. And we're going to follow up with some things that we had talked about with you the last time you were on the show. And we'll be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we are privileged to have with us Jennifer Glover, who is the Poultry Program Administrator, Division of Animal Industry, Florida Department Agriculture and Conservation. Goodness, Jennifer, how does that even fit on a business card?
I know, that's pretty long, but that's what it is. So we have to put it all down there. But basically, as I was mentioning before, what we do in our agriculture division is animal disease control. That's our main focus in biosecurity.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's interesting. I had a couple questions about the laws changing down here for farmers and people that wanted to sell their eggs and stuff. Remember, we talked about that the last time.
We did. And I'm having a little bit of hard time hearing you, so I hope you can hear me.
I can.
That part of legislation, which will be addressed soon, is actually through the Division of Food Safety and not through my division. So our inspectors would not be a part of that program. It would all come through the Division of Food Safety. And the reason for that is because that product is for human consumption. So that's why that would be food safety, whereas I do animal disease control, and that's going to be for people with backyard poultry who are breeding and not for selling or doing anything with table eggs.
Okay.
And people wonder why ordinary citizens sometimes get confused over which part of government to address questions to.
That's fine, and I get that question all the time. And I had one today about processing organic chickens to sell the meat, and I just had to refer them to food safety. Again, anything that's human consumption is a different division.
Yeah, I get that question at least 2-3 times a month.
And correct, and it's fine to always refer people to me because I have some of the contact information for Division of Food Safety, but it's still under Department of Agriculture, just a different umbrella.
Okay.
And so what do you check farms for? What do you check poultry for? What are the things you look for when you're going out and looking at a flock?
Well, we have in Florida for poultry, there's, of course, many other diseases, but there's 5 reportable diseases, Pylorum typhoid, 2 mycoplasmas, avian influenza, and exotic Newcastle disease. So that's what our program focuses on so we can protect the state of Florida and other commercial poultry and backyard flocks and the whole industry.
Are you finding a lot of that down here in Florida?
Oh, no. We test a lot, and if anything, it's not common, but it's not uncommon for backyard flocks to have there's 2 mycoplasmas, which in, I guess, backyard language is respiratory. Chronic respiratory disease is usually what it's called, or CRD. That is what we find usually in backyard flocks. But another thing that's more common is that people have internal parasites. Once you have that in your poultry, then there's secondary infections, and that would be the mycoplasma.
Okay.
So keeping your flock on a worming program is the best thing to do to keep them healthy.
Right.
I've never actually seen a chicken cough. How do chickens display any respiratory distress?
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you have backyard poultry, and I'm sure many of your listeners would know, it's literally congestion. You can hear raspy breathing, or their eyes will be running, nasal discharge, or even swelling around the face.
I have seen that.
Yes, I mean, I see that a lot, too. But again, probably 50% of the time they have internal parasites, and that's why the mycoplasma is secondary. So that's what we mostly see in Florida.
Now, is there any recommendation from you for worming for the internal parasites?
My recommendation would be, well, you can go online, of course, and the poultry clubs talk, but the most common poultry wormer is Wazine, which can be at Tractor Supply or any of your feed stores, and just getting on a program to keep them. There's also an organic poultry wormer that some people are happy with, and that can be looked up also. It's called Verm-XV, as in Victor, ERM-X, I think, .USA, and that has a lot of good information, too.
Okay, because that Wazine, you're not supposed to eat the eggs.
Correct. You withhold them, I think, for 5 to 7 days. I'm not sure what it is. But at the same time, you don't want your whole poultry flock, you know, because that can cause diseases. Withholding eggs for 7 days would be worth it, you know, to get rid of a parasite problem.
Uh-huh. Now, is there any apparent signs of having parasites?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you say that again.
I said, is there any apparent signs you can look for in your chicken?
Oh, yes, definitely. The birds will be eating and drinking, and they're feathered out, and they look healthy just appearance-wise. But once you pick them up, you'll feel them. They're very light. They have a sharp breastbone. And you just wonder, you know, they look fluffy, and then you pick them up, and they really hardly weigh anything. Once you get to that point, then you'd want to go with the Wazine in a chemical route. If you have raised chicks and, you know, they're healthy and eating and plump and fat and doing how it's supposed to do, you could stick more to an organic wormer. And I mean, there's other remedies. Some of the people use apple cider vinegar to be organic, or the Verm X. And another product is that diatomaceous earth, which is called DE.
That's what I use.
Sprinkled in their food. And that's organic too.
Yeah.
It's food grade. It's the type
of. If you don't wait till you have a problem, if you just do this as a matter of course.
That's maintenance and to not have a problem, but, you know, to be fair and quite honestly with the average backyard flock, they did not realize. Because a lot of them will say, I had no idea that you worm chickens. And to get that information out, or even where chicks are sold at feed stores, it'd be nice for them to have, you know, that type of information so they can have a healthy flock. And as your previous guest was talking about sustainable poultry, it's getting bigger every day, and a lot of people have 6 to 8 hens. Well, they need to be sure they're taking care of them, you know, from the inside so they'll continue to have a good product.
Now, have you noticed the poultry growing here in Florida?
We have an increased number of backyard flocks every week. But as far as any type of disease, any reportable diseases, then the state of Florida has been pretty clean.
Wow. So with more people raising chickens, does that bring the factor up?
With the reportable diseases, which are pretty serious, so Plorum typhoid and avian influenza in Newcastle are the, you know, top three where there would be a high mortality, whereas with the respiratory diseases, there's not, you know, as much mortality but more of a morbidity. And we have not had any of the top, you know, three ones I just mentioned. It's more of the respiratory. Even with more, you know, I'm hoping education and biosecurity, and I know I mentioned earlier, every county has an IFAS, U of F Ag Extension office, and they're a good resource to contact them for any type of questions, even space, how much space chickens need and building their yard and information like that.
Right. Now, when you buy chickens at chicken swaps, they should be segregated for how long before you introduce them into your flock?
30 days is what's recommended. I would recommend 30 days. Some people say 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Just depending on your flock, and if you had, you know, high quality exhibition purebred birds. I'm leery of chicken swaps anyway, but if you do that route, then I would stick to the 30-day rule.
Yeah, and it seems like the chicken swaps are getting bigger down here.
Now you're talking about members of a, you know, of a club where they're usually purebred, then I have heard more of that. The places you want to try to be careful at is the auctions, the animal sale auctions.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, I don't recommend buying anything at an animal sale auction where they auction them off. There's different types of animals coming in. Right. But I do know there's some clubs that are doing chicken swaps. And that's with club members, so that's a little bit different. And I feel like those birds would, you know, be safer bet than the ones that are auctioned off at the animal sale market.
Right.
Well, we are running out of time here. I want to thank you so much, Jennifer, and hopefully we can have you come on again sometime.
Oh, I'd be glad to. Anytime. I know this was later, and thought I had missed it, but that's fine with me. As long as I have a heads up, I'll be glad to talk to you all.
Good, excellent. You know, and if anybody has questions for Joe, for Jennifer, or any of our guests or hosts here on All Paws Pet Talk, if you go to allpawspettalk.com, there's a form right there on the homepage. And folks, you've been listening to Country Joe's Chicken Show, and we'll be back next time with more. I'm a green chicken.